This is Radio Romania International. You are listening to our one-hour broadcast in English for listeners in Western Europe. We can also be heard on the internet at www.ri.ro, Channel 1. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter and other social media platforms. Our programs are also available on TuneIn, Radio Romania International 1, and via satellite Eutelsat 16A on 11,512 MHz, vertical polarization, azimuth 16 degrees east. We wish you good reception conditions.
Hello, I'm Cristina Mateescu with the news. First, the headlines. Romania condemns in strongest terms Iran's Saturday attack against Israel. The candidates' lists for the upcoming local elections in Romania can be submitted from Tuesday. And Romania qualified for the Billie Jean King Cup finals for the first time after beating Ukraine 3-2 on Saturday in the US. Romania has strongly condemned Iran's attack against Israel. We stand in full solidarity with the Israeli people in these difficult moments. We call for avoiding further regional escalation, the country's President Klaus Iohannis posted on Sunday, a sentiment shared by Prime Minister Marcel Ciolacu. We firmly condemn this attack and support Israel's right to ensure the security of its citizens. The country's foreign minister, Luminița Odobescu, said the ministry is in contact with the Romanian embassies in the region. We are deeply concerned about the security situation in the Middle East, she also said. NATO has also condemned Iran's attack as escalation and called for restraint. Many European countries, as well as Canada, China, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt and Qatar, voiced concern about the situation in the region and called for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, urging restraint as tensions rise in the Middle East. The candidates' lists for the upcoming local elections in Romania can be submitted from the 16th of April, with the 30th of April as the deadline. A few days ago was the deadline for the submission of candidates' lists for the European parliamentary elections, which are taking place on the same day as the local elections on the 9th of June. The Central Electoral Bureau is analysing the documents filed by the 15 political parties and election alliances and 7 independent candidates and will announce the final list of candidates on the 29th of April. According to a Eurobarometer published by the European Commission, 53% of Romanian voters say they intend to cast their ballot in the European elections, while 10% say they are unlikely and another 10% that they are very unlikely to vote. According to the survey, the highest voter turnout is expected in Bucharest and Ilfov County and in the northeast and southeast of the country, while the lowest is expected in the southwest and west of the country. Representatives of Ukrainians from some 70 different states have met these days at the Ukrainian World Congress hosted by Bucharest to discuss ways to consolidate Ukrainian culture, identity, tradition and language among communities around the world. They also discussed the problems faced by Ukrainian refugees in the countries where they found asylum and possible mechanisms to provide them with support and integration. Talks also focused on issues relating to the support for Ukraine on its European and Euro-Atlantic path. Nicolae Miroslav Petrețchi, a member of the Romanian Parliament representing the ethnic Ukrainian community in Romania, said Bucharest is a reliable partner and friend for Ukraine and that bilateral relations are very close and at a strategic level. After the pandemic and the wide-scale war, Romania has time and again demonstrated that it is a reliable partner and friend for Ukraine and the Ukrainian people, he said. The Ukrainian diaspora is one of the most numerous in the world, with over 26 million members, not including the around 6 million Ukrainians displaced as a result of Russia's invasion in 2022. Ukraine has begun to build two new US-designed reactors at Khmelnytsky nuclear power station in the west of the country, as its energy infrastructure has come under massive attack by Russia, the France Press news agency reports. The project aims to improve Ukraine's energy security and reduce its dependency on Russian nuclear technology. Ukraine announced as early as January plans to build two new reactors to compensate for the loss of the Zaporizhzhia power plant, the biggest in Europe, which was occupied by the Russian troops in March 2022. With six reactors in operation, the Khmelnytsky plant will become, according to Kyiv, the largest in Europe, even larger than Zaporizhzhia. Romania qualified for the Billie Jean King Cup finals for the first time after beating Ukraine 3-2 on Saturday in the US. In the doubles match that secured Romania's qualification, Jacqueline Cristian and Ana Bogdan defeated Lyudmila Kichenok and Nadia Kichenok in straight sets, 6-2, 7-6. Earlier, Jacqueline Cristian beat Lesia Tsurenko and Ana Bogdan beat Elina Svitolina. The teams that will compete in the Billie Jean King Cup finals are Australia, Canada, the Czech Republic, Great Britain, Germany, Italy, Japan, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, Spain, and the US. And that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Romania International.
The future starts today.
Hello and welcome to our geopolitical feature. I am Galin Kotsoev. The anniversary of 75 years of existence found NATO in a context of international turmoil. The war in Ukraine, the conflict in the Middle East, but also the revival of terrorism. The challenges are complex and varied, with the alliance having to be prepared to respond to cyber attacks, disinformation, and campaigns designed to undermine the stability of its members, hybrid threats which combine military, political, economic, and informational elements are a major problem. It's a critical moment. Let's remember why NATO was founded, journalist Cătălin Lenta commented for Euronews. It was founded as an attempt to find an adequate response, a military one if necessary, to external threats. We recall that right after World War II, the United States was already less friendly to the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and this alliance emerged in order to counter possible military actions of the USSR in Europe. Where are we today? Unfortunately, in much of the same situation. An attempt to counter Russian aggression in Europe. And we have been seeing this aggression since 2014, when Russia illegally annexed Crimea. And 10 years have passed since then. We saw in 2022, in February, when it invaded Ukraine and conquered quite a large area, about a sixth of the territory of Ukraine. We see it every day through Russia's extremely bellicose and vindictive statements towards Poland, the Baltic states, Romania, and Bulgaria. Less towards Hungary, which still maintains good relations with Moscow, Cătălin Lenta points out. The North Atlantic Alliance stood up to the Warsaw Pact staunchly and continuously adapted to the security challenges that have not stopped appearing, says the Vice President of the Euro-Atlantic Center for Resilience, Air Flotilla General in Reserve Adrian Duță, referring to NATO's role in the last 75 years of peace. NATO not only adapted to the threats imposed by the Soviet Union, but was also able to develop based on the fact that the member states the partner states, shared the same values and the same interests. As you know, the alliance has grown from 12 states initially to 32 today, and the particularly complex security environment of the last period and the challenges we have to face every day are so much more. That's why countries like Sweden and Finland, after many years of neutrality, decided very quickly to apply for NATO integration. That was Air General and Reserve Adrian Dutsov. Predictably, Ukraine and its support in the face of Russian aggression dominated the celebration of the 75 years of existence of the North Atlantic Alliance, especially in the context of maintaining Moscow's military pressure and against the background of the slowdown in Western military support. Currently, the Allies are analyzing a financial framework of $100 billion that would allow NATO to maintain its defense of Ukraine in the perspective of a possible win by Donald Trump in the American elections. Some of the Allies also announced financial support for the Czech initiative to buy armaments from third countries in order to increase the volume of deliveries to Kiev. NATO Deputy Secretary General Mircea Joana, invited to Radio Romania on April 2nd, said that the best defense is attack. For us, the best defense is deterrence, and that's when we all decided, with our leaders in Vilnius almost a year ago, to come up with a new generation of NATO defense and deterrence plans, including in Romania. April 2nd was the very day on which Romania's accession to the North Atlantic Alliance became 20 years old. We do not exclusively mount a much stronger defense, military present, last generation military technology, but we are actually making a gesture of deterrence also because Russia knows that we have as a military force. And that's why, if needed, obviously, we will activate Article 5. But we still hope that Article 5 will not be needed. It was activated only once when America was attacked on September 11, 2001. There has never been war in NATO territory. There has never been a war in NATO territory in 75 years. And I believe that this beautiful history of NATO will continue for many decades. For the Romanian army, the period between the exit from totalitarianism and the NATO summit in Prague in 2002 meant an extensive process of reforms and modernization that would allow it to align with the alliance's standards. Once Romania became a full member of NATO, Romanian soldiers tested their mettle in theaters of operations along armies with which they are now fully compatible. In these 20 years, about 50,000 Romanian soldiers were engaged in the theaters of operations in Afghanistan, Iraq, and the Western Balkans. Currently, Romania is a military base of the alliance, with the strategic anti-missile shield at Deveselu in the south and Cogălnicianu Air Base in the southeast, and training centers in Transylvania in the center. You have been listening to The Future Starts Today.
You are listening to Radio Romania International.
Radio Romania International Encyclopedia.
Hello, I'm Cristina Mateescu. In Romania's local history, we find important names who got involved in social and charitable work for their native regions, or contributed to the development of their birthplace. Others excelled in the cultural field and thus helped promote their regions. The history of Gorj in southwestern Romania is dominated by the name of the great sculptor Constantin Brâncuș, but Gorj has given other important names to Romanian history. It is also the birthplace of Tudor Vladimirescu, the leader of the revolutionary movement of 1821, of Gheorghe Magheru, one of the leaders of the 1848 revolution, of actress Elvira Godanu, philosopher George Uscătescu, and the politicians Gheorghe Tătărescu, Grigore Iunian, and Vasile Lascăm. The entrepreneur, politician, and lobbyist Dinca Schileru also hailed from Gorj. Dinca Schileru was born in 1846 and died in 1919, aged 72. He hailed from a family of wealthy peasants. One of his predecessors was a soldier in the army of Tudor Vladimirescu. Schileru was the first peasant to be elected to the Romanian parliament. He may have come from the ranks of the peasants, but he was by no means poor. In 1868, he got married and moved to his wife's village, where he built a family home, a church and a school, helping poor children get an education. He began his business career with a small tailor's workshop and then moved into entrepreneurship and trading in grains, fruit tree growing and vine growing. He built mills and machines for processing wood and was passionate about horses. His business acumen and success did not only bring about wealth, but also prestige among the people in his village. He was said to be a man with a strong personality and proud of his origins. Dinca Schileru helped promote the region's traditional costume, and his community placed its trust on him by electing him its representative to the local council in 1876, aged 30, and later to the Romanian parliament in 1879 as a Liberal MP. Gheorghe Nichifor studied Dinca Schileru's life and struggle of social and economic emancipation. He showed how Schileru took politics very seriously and tenaciously dedicated himself to the economic improvement of his native region.
Nena Dinca Schileru a fost deputat în Parlamentul României, deși avea doar 40 de zile de carte.
Dinca Schileru was a member in the Romanian parliament, despite only having gone to school for 40 days, now and then from 1887 until 1911. He did not use beautiful words, but had a talent for repeating his ideas until they stuck with the members of parliament. Here's an example. We have mines in Gorj. We have coal in Skela. He went to London with a piece of coal, showed it to the British MPs, told them where it came from, and that's how investors showed up in Gorj. He himself did some oil prospecting in Bulteni, the village of his wife, and it was later confirmed that there was indeed oil in the area. Schileru was therefore someone who was good at making money, and he also put his skill in areas other than agriculture and wood processing, even becoming a patron of the arts. Gheorghe Nichifor explains.
Dinca Schileru avea un ziar propriu la un moment dat. Dinca Schileru avea un atelier de croitorie.
Dinca Schileru at some point had his own newspaper, and he also had his own tailor's workshop, which produced his famous outfit. He built schools. He even contributed to the construction of the county museum, which today houses the bell he donated to the school in Stănești, and which was used not only to assemble the pupils, but also to sound the breakfast, lunch and dinner time for the people in the village. Energetic and willing to make things move, Schileru was considered the epitome of a successful man, with wealth and offspring to leave his wealth to. He gave confidence to the people who elected him, and he was even remembered in local folk songs and rhymes. Gheorghe Nichifor.
Mai are și un urmaș, se numește Aristide Schileru, foarte important personajul, senator în Parlamentul României.
He had a descendant called Aristica Schileru. He was a senator in the Romanian parliament, but died young, aged 40. Another descendant was a first-year football player who was also called Schileru, whose name may ring familiar to those who are a bit older. In a nutshell, Dinca Schileru was a man of his times. He put his qualities both to his own service and to that of his community.
Next in this program is Song of the Day. Listen to Proconsul with their latest release entitled In Your World.
Aduce aminte când eram doar doi copii și orice grijă aveam treceau a doua zi. Tu batând seara la tine mă gândesc. Atunci că te iubesc. Uite de mâine, ia-mă de mână, poartă-mă iar în lumea ta. Închide ochii, lasă doar vântul să ne conducă undeva. Acolo unde n-avem minute, n-avem secundele pe șas. În seara în care tu mi-ai spus că vei pleca, nu am putut să dorm, tu mi-ai luat liniștea.
This is Radio Romania International. Cultural Event.
Welcome to Cultural Event with me, Eugen Nasta. The National History Museum of Romania in March and April 2024 has staged a fragile exhibition titled Claiming the Soil. It is a ceramics exhibition, part of the cultural project titled A Tradition in Clay in the Wake of the Ceramic Artists. Project is co-financed by the National Cultural Fund Administration. The exhibition seeks to bring center stage for the lay public, but also for specialists, several types of ceramics preserved from the Neolithic Age, the last part of the Stone Age, roughly between 10,000 and 4,500 BC, and to the present day. About the exhibition, which is on at the National History Museum of Romania, we sat down and spoke to restorer and one of its organizers, Sergiu Popescu.
Expoziția aduce în fața publicului iubitor.
The exhibition brings before the history-loving public this fragment of ethnography, so to speak, a practical, long-lasting ethnography, even though we may think that those objects are fragile and one single blow can destroy them. Be that as it may, the exhibition capitalizes on objects that have been restored and which no longer have all the original parts. We wanted to emphasize something displaying them, since we thought out the exhibition in large ethnographic, historical and geographic areas, beginning with Oltenia, Wallachia, Dobruja, and then continuing with Transylvania, where we have the largest collection, the largest display of pieces, continuing with Krishana and Banat, and ending with Moldavia. Apart from objects of various areas across Romania, the exhibition has also come up with a display of objects of importance. Here is Sergiu Popescu once again with more details on that.
Am încercat să atragem atenția asupra cultului.
We tried to draw attention to the worship of the dead. And there we have bowls, pitchers, incense, little cushions and all sorts of little jugs that were used as part of that particular sort of worship at the commemoration of the kind-hearted ones. Speaking about this worshipping of the dead, we also have the worshipping of superstitions, since we know the area to be a very sensitive one, where things are extremely close to one another, with faith merging into superstition, risen enough for us to put to good use as part of the collection, the personalized styles from the Sibiu area. The oldest of them is dated 1890, risen enough for us to think out the time frame of the exhibition from that particular year and to this day. What types of ceramic objects does the exhibition bring before the public? Sergiu Popescu.
Ca tipuri de obiecte se remarcă cele de volum.
Speaking about their types, quite important are the round ones but also the flat ones, although at times, that including our times, competing with them were the other materials, since we're all too familiar with the metal or the wooden ones. Apart from the utilitarian ones, the utilitarian pots, vertically, we also wanted to capitalize on the decorative saucers or bowls, which are indeed exceptionally handcrafted, with decorations that are typical for each zone. Visitors will find it easy to tell the Piscu pots, which are here, nearby Bucharest, with their lively decorations, with their extraordinary light pigments, with the vegetal motifs that do not exist in other zones. And that was Cultural Event.
Coming up next in the program, Romanian Without Tears.
Welcome to a new edition in our Romanian Without Tears series. I'm Eugen Nastan. Today we continue our journey through historical and cultural Bucharest. The offer has remained generous to this day. We shall focus on the Elizabeth Palace, lying near the Village Museum and the outdoor theatre of the park known as the Park of King Michael I of Romania. As usual, we begin with a series of useful words and phrases. Palat, palace. Construi, build. Principesa, princess. Fica, daughter. Activități oficiale, official activities. Now, let us use some of the words and phrases above in meaningful patterns. Palatul a fost construit între anii 1935 și 1937 pentru regina Elisabeta a Greciei. The palace was built between 1935 and 1937 for Queen Elizabeth of Greece. Regina Elisabeta a Greciei s-a născut principesă a României. Queen Elizabeth of Greece was born Princess of Romania. Elisabeta era prima fică a regelui Ferdinand I al României și a reginei Maria a României. Elizabeth was the first daughter of King Ferdinand I of Romania and of the Queen Marie of Romania. Regina Maria era sora regelui Carol al doilea al României. Queen Marie was the sister of King Carol II of Romania. Palatul nu a fost construit pentru activități oficiale. The palace was not built for official activities. Palatul a fost construit să servească drept reședință pentru principesa reîntoarsă în țară. The palace was built as a residence for the princess who had returned to the country. That's all we have time for in this week's Romanian Without Tears. Thank you all for the interest you take in Romanian culture and for being so keen on learning Romanian with us. Goodbye. La revedere.
Focus on Romania. You are listening to Radio Romania International.
Next in this broadcast, it's music from A to Z. I'm Cristina Matescu, and today we're going to introduce you to the rock band Conexiuni, who was mostly popular in the 1980s and 90s. They were founded in Brasov in 1983, and their first song, called Walachian Fakir, was an instant hit with the public. Let's start with a song from 1999 called Don't Go. For most of its early years, the band acquired its fame due to its many tours and live performances, being only rarely played on the radio. It wasn't until 1985 that music critics began to notice them, and Conexión was invited to make their first recordings for radio. In 1993, the band launched their first disc called Everything I'd Like to Tell You, and embarked on a country tour that saw them perform in 28 different towns and cities around Romania. Let's listen next to another song from 1999 called Stay a Little While.
Ceva sau poate vrei să-mi spui pentru ce ai să lași în urmă toate câte au fost între noi, să încerci să mai găsești vreun rost, vreun motiv să amâni ce e de-acum definitiv. Ia un loc, îl mai ai, în la miezul nopții este timp destul să mai stai. Poate vrei să trecem peste inhibări și tristeți cu izbegări, sau poate acum vrei să uiți ce puțin rămâne până pleci la drum. Mai rămâi puțin, te rog, este cea din urmă seară, e temeră ca un nor, draja nu lăsa să piară, lasă-ți părul să lanind, să mișire în mână sa ce nu minți. În plutiri de aripi albe, mai lasă-mi pe-o zi.
In 1997, Conexión released their second album, called A World of Puppets, but soon after this they disbanded, only to reunite once in a while for special occasions. Let's end this program with one more song from Conexión called Tell Her.
Eu cred că ai avut dreptate și înțeleg ce s-a întâmplat, dar știu la fel de bine că s-ar putea ca mâine să-ți pară rău că v-ați certat. E o noapte până mâine, mai ai timp să te gândești, dacă vei putea de-acum înainte de ea. De ea să te lipsești. E trist că uneori se întâmplă ca soarta să fie prea rea și dintr-o vorbă goală să pierzi tot ce aveai cândva. Deși avea dreptate, lăsând totul deoparte, ea a venit și te-a iertat. A fost noaptea bună, sednic, ce i-a spus că-i bine așa. N-ar fi rău să înveți și tu din asta ceva.
Listening to Radio Romania International. Coming up next on Radio Romania International. In the Spotlight.
Hello, dear friends, and welcome to a new edition of our weekly feature In the Spotlight, the program that brings you the latest in Romania's international life. This is Daniel Bilz at the microphone. Stay tuned. The U.S. Special Representative for Ukraine's Economic Recovery, Penny Pritzker, arrived in Romania in early April, where she met the country's Prime Minister Marcel Ciolacu, government ministers and private sector leaders with whom she discussed Romania's important contributions to regional cooperation, including emergency energy assistance to Ukraine, as well as the long-term benefits of infrastructure investments for both Romania and Ukraine. The U.S. official also toured the Rome Expo Refugee Center and listened to the experience of Ukrainian refugees and discussed the role they would play in Ukraine's recovery. Taking the floor during the news conference occasioned by the visit she paid to the Rome Expo Refugee Center, the U.S. Special Representative for Ukraine's Economic Recovery, Penny Pritzker, said she was grateful to be here with the refugees and listen to their stories.
I'm really moved and grateful to be with all of you here today to hear the stories from some extraordinary Ukrainian refugees and to see firsthand the generous acts of kindness from the Romanian people. I want to extend gratitude from the United States for Romania's solidarity with Ukraine. Since February 2022, Romania has provided humanitarian gateway to around 7 million Ukrainians forced to flee their homes, 70,000 of which still find safety here in Romania.
Romania has constantly provided Ukraine with energy, equipment, fuel and electricity, and has also invested in its infrastructure in order to be able to support the transit of the Ukrainian grain. Here is the U.S. Special Representative for Ukraine's Economic Recovery, Penny Pritzker, with more.
Romania has also consistently provided Ukraine with energy equipment, fuel, discounted electricity, and emergency grid balancing assistance. And Romania has invested in road, in rail, in port infrastructure to enable the transport of more than 45 million tons of Ukrainian grain through the Danube corridor. Your generosity has befitted Ukraine and has strengthened Romania's position as a regional leader.
According to the U.S. official, Ukraine is fighting for nothing less than to preserve and protect the Euro-Atlantic system of free ideas, free markets, and free people.
This is a dire moment for Ukraine. Over the last 2 weeks, devastating Russian missile and drone strikes have led to significant destruction of energy infrastructure, massive blackouts, and demolished buildings, including in Kyiv, Kharkiv, Odessa, and Western Ukraine. I know you deeply understand that Ukraine is fighting for nothing less than to preserve and protect the Euro-Atlantic system of free ideas, free markets, free peoples. And the Ukrainians are fighting for their rightful place as a prosperous, independent, open country integrated into the EU. Ukraine's economic recovery and European integration will be built on economic cooperation in exports, energy, tech, and reconstruction across the Western Black Sea region.
Romania's support for Ukraine is not an act of solidarity with a European neighbor, but it's also positioning Romania to be a launch pad for and to play a leading role in Ukraine's reconstruction.
Your support for Ukraine is not only an act of solidarity with your European neighbor, but is also positioning Romania to be a launch pad for and to play a leading role in Ukraine's reconstruction, leading to greater regional economic growth for Ukrainians and for Romanians. The Romanian government and the private sector get it, that the time for Ukraine to think about its economic recovery is now, and that doing so will not only benefit Ukraine, but the broader region as well. I had the pleasure to meet with about 50 great Romanian companies this morning. They're a fabulous resource for Romania, for Ukraine, and for the United States. They told me about the opportunities and some of the challenges they are facing in Romania as they look to be part of the common project of Ukraine's recovery. The United States is committed to supporting this effort, which means passing the package of security and economic assistance for Ukraine in our Congress. I strongly encourage Speaker Johnson to bring the bill to the floor that President Biden can sign so we can get Ukraine the assistance that it so desperately needs.
The U.S. Special Representative for Ukraine's Economic Recovery, Penny Pritzker, thanked Romania on behalf of the United States for demonstrating leadership in the face of Russia's war.
It also means working with Ukraine to accelerate reforms, support key infrastructure development, unlock new risk mitigation tools, and reintegrate its veterans and, of course, its refugee population. We are reinforcing this work across key sectors and geographies in areas which we believe Ukraine has an authentic right to win. I would again like to thank the government and the people of Romania on behalf of the United States for demonstrating leadership in the face of Russia's war. We are grateful for all you have done and all that you continue to do to support Ukraine as it fights against Putin and for its freedom. And let me just close by saying that this is my first time in Romania. And you have a beautiful city here in Bucharest. Also, congratulations in joining the air and port Schengen zone. I experienced it firsthand yesterday. In fact, I was one of the first passengers to come into the airport where we landed, which was passport free.
Also attending the conference, Raed Arafat, State Secretary with the Romanian Ministry of Home Affairs, referred to the concerted actions involving Romanian and international institutions aimed at providing support for Ukraine.
I think that we are in a very representative building today. And the reason why we wanted that the special representative sees this building is because this building represents the integrated approach we had in Romania from the first day of the war of aggression against Ukraine. From the beginning, the Romanian society, individuals, local authorities, national authorities, after which we also had the international organizations arriving and supporting us, we all approached together the tragedy that, as Victoria said, the tragedy that took place because of the aggression against Ukraine. We started working together, we continued working together, and we continued working on developing the support that we can give it to Ukraine. In this building, we have international organizations, we have national organizations, we have European representatives also, the police, the migration, and so on, which all together created a one-stop shop for the Ukrainian refugees to get the support that they should and they must get from Romania during their stay here or during the transition.
You have been listening to our regular feature In the Spotlight. Until next time, from me, Daniel Biltz, it's goodbye and good listening.
Welcome to Simply Folk with me, Eugen Nasta. You're invited to listen to a song performed by Maria Dan Păucean, hailing from Alba County in Transylvania, a song praising the beauty of the mountain.
Hai, hai, dorule, că mi-e dor de ta guriță. Badea oile și-o dus, la stână la munte sus, la stână la munte sus, mă. La stână la munte sus, mă. M-o chemat să-i fiu băciță, să-i dau oile-n strunguță. Hai, hai, dorule, la bădița-l meu, Gheorghiță. Când-i cald și vreme bună, când-i cald și vreme bună. Faină-i viața la stână, când-i cald și vreme bună, când-i cald și vreme bună. Facem jintiță și cașmă, punem mielul la proțap. Hai, hai, dorule, nu ne trebuie nănașmă. Când se ia roua și ceața, când se ia roua și ceața. Și în toată dimineața, când se ia roua și ceața, când se ia roua și ceața.
And with that, our broadcast in English for listeners in Western Europe has come to an end. You can listen to our next program at 20:30 hours UTC on 11975 kHz, as well as on the internet at www.rri.ro, Channel 1. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write an email at engl@rri.ro. Goodbye.